Hey there, and welcome back to 7-Minute Books. I'm Sam, and today we're diving into the Mental Toughness Handbook by Damon Zahraitis. Sophie, I have to ask, what's your take on the whole idea of mental toughness? Is it something you're born with, or can you actually build it?
Hey there, Sam. I'm so glad you picked this one. Honestly, I used to think some people were just wired differently, like they had this unshakable calm. But this book completely flips that idea. Zahraitis argues it's not a personality trait at all. It's a set of skills you can learn, like a muscle you can train.
A muscle, huh? I like that. So it's not about being some emotionless robot who never feels fear or doubt.
Exactly. He's really clear that mental toughness isn't about not feeling things. It's about being able to function effectively even when you're feeling a ton of discomfort. It's like having an internal operating system that lets you choose your response instead of just reacting.
Right. And that's such a relief, isn't it? Because I think a lot of us feel like we're failing if we get scared or anxious. But this book says, no, that's normal. What matters is what you do next.
Totally. And one of the first big ideas he hits you with is the comfort zone versus the growth zone. He says the comfort zone is a trap. Every time you choose comfort over challenge, you're telling your brain that you're weak and the world is dangerous.
Ouch, that's a little too real. So the antidote is to deliberately step into discomfort, right? Not like reckless stuff, but just doing the thing you don't want to do because you don't want to do it.
Yes, exactly. He suggests starting small, like take a cold shower in the morning or make that phone call you've been dodging. Each little victory is like a deposit in your mental toughness bank account.
I actually tried the cold shower thing last week after reading this, and I'm not gonna lie, it was brutal. But afterward, I felt this weird sense of accomplishment. Like if I can do that, I can handle the next thing.
See, that's the idea. And it builds on itself. But he also spends a lot of time on the voice in your head. You know, that inner critic that's always telling you you're going to fail or that you're not good enough.
Oh, mine's on a loop. What's the move there? Do you just try to ignore it?
He says that's nearly impossible. Instead, he teaches something called cognitive reframing. The goal is to argue with that negative voice using logic and evidence. So if it says, you're going to bomb this presentation, you counter with, I've prepared, I've done this before, and my fear isn't a fact.
That's powerful. I love that phrase. My fear isn't a fact. And that ties into something else he says about motivation. I always thought you had to feel motivated to get stuff done. But he flips that too, right?
He sure does. He says motivation is the result of action, not the cause. You don't run because you feel motivated. You feel motivated because you started running. The key is to rely on discipline, not that fleeting feeling.
So how do you kickstart that discipline when you're stuck on the couch? I need a practical tip here.
He's got this thing called the 5-second rule, but it's not a gimmick. When you have an impulse to act, you have about 5 seconds before your brain starts making excuses. So you count backward from 5 and then you move. It's like hacking your own nervous system.
Wait, so you're telling me I just count 5 for 3, 2, 1, and then I'm off the couch? That sounds too simple.
It sounds simple, but it works because it disrupts that loop of hesitation. I've been using it to get up early for a run, and honestly, the hardest part is just the first 5 seconds. Once you're moving, it's okay.
Okay, I'm gonna try that. But what about when you feel like you're gonna explode with anger or anxiety? The book talks about emotional intelligence, right? But it's not about bottling it up.
Not at all. He's very clear that suppression leads to burnout. Instead, he says to practice emotional mastery. That's where you acknowledge your feeling without letting it run the show. He's got a 3-step process for that.
Lay it on me.
First, you name the emotion. Like, say to yourself, I am feeling anxious. That simple act moves it from the emotional part of your brain to the thinking part, and it gives you a bit of control. Then, you accept it without judgment. Don't tell yourself you shouldn't feel this way.
And the 3rd step?
You ask yourself, what's the most effective action I can take right now, given that I feel this way? So you can feel terrified and still give the speech. The feeling doesn't get the final word.
Man, that's a reframe. and it connects to something else he talks about, the idea of delayed gratification. In a world of instant everything, that's a superpower.
He's got a great tool for that too, called the October 10th, 10 Rule. Before giving in to an impulse, ask yourself how you'll feel about this decision in 10 minutes, 10 months, and 10 years. That slice of cake feels good for 10 minutes, but in 10 months, it's irrelevant to your health goals.
And that difficult conversation might be awkward for 10 minutes, but in 10 years, it could be the foundation of a stronger relationship. Wow, that really zooms you out.
It does. And he also makes this point about your physical health, which I thought was interesting. He says a neglected body creates a weak mind. Poor sleep and a bad diet directly impair your ability to regulate emotions and resist impulses.
So working out when you're tired, or choosing a salad over fries, it's all mental toughness training. I like that. It makes every small choice feel meaningful.
Yes, and the benefits compound. But I think one of the most liberating ideas in this book is the law of letting go. It's not about holding on tighter to everything. Sometimes, toughness means knowing what to release.
Like what?
Like the need for approval, the need to be right, the need to control everything. Holding on to those is a massive drain on your energy. You can't be tough if you're constantly seeking validation from other people.
That's a hard one for me. I'm a bit of a people pleaser, honestly.
Me too. But he encourages this mindset of radical acceptance. You acknowledge reality exactly as it is, without resistance. That doesn't mean giving up. It means freeing up energy to work on what you can actually change. You can't change the wind, but you can adjust your sails.
I love that. And it brings us to the final big piece, which is purpose. Because you can't sustain all this effort without a good reason, right?
Exactly. He calls it your North Star. It's a core value or a long-term vision that's bigger than your immediate fears. It could be as simple as, I want to be a present and patient parent. When you have that, every difficult choice becomes a vote for the person you want to become.
That's the fuel. And I think that's what makes the book so empowering. It's not about some mysterious gift. It's about building a relationship with yourself based on trust. Trust that you'll do what you say you will, even when it's hard.
Yes, and he gives you the blueprint. It's up to you to put in the work. But honestly, if you want to go deeper, the whole library is over on 7minutebooks.com/app with over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles you can read or listen to in any language. It starts at $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 once for lifetime access.
And the takeaway for me is that you are the architect of your own mind. You're not a victim of your circumstances or your past. That's a pretty powerful thought to carry into the day.
It really is. The ability to endure, to persist, and to thrive isn't a mystery. It's a choice you make every single day, one small act of courage at a time. We'll see you in the next one.